after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Well, we've had another day or so to kind of digest the John Elway situation, the general manager hunt. You know, listening to Joe Ellis yesterday was interesting. Why would this be an appealing job for a general manager? And it, knowing that the ownership is up in the air. So that's going to be something we'll get to today. Because there's no guarantee one way or the other that if a new owner, when the new owner comes in, that they keep or fire the new general manager. Just like we're talking about a general manager wanting to come in with their own vision of the team, is the owner going to come in wanting their own vision? So we'll get to that a little bit later on. How about last night? Nuggets needed this one. It was against Minnesota again. They have now beaten the Minnesota Timberwolves 10 times in a row. They beat them twice just in the last 3 days, on Sunday night and, of course, Tuesday night. Man, our power to play sports poll question doesn't seem so ridiculous. If I would have asked this question last year, wouldn't you have said, come on, really? No. Is Nikola Jokic the best player in the NBA? Right now, is he the best? Now, you look at a lot. Now, no, he's not leading the league in points. He's not leading the league in rebounds. He is leading the league in assists, but he is top five. What are the most important stats in basketball? Points, rebounds, assists. I mean, percentages and all that. Those are plus minus when you're on the floor. All that's important too. But when you think of the most important stats, when we talk about triple doubles most of the time, right? You're not getting, you don't see a lot of 10 steal games. You're talking about points, rebounds, and assists. Nikola Jokic leads in all, or he's top five in all three of those categories. I shouldn't say he's top five in points score right now. He's still averaging, 25 points per game. So he's still down in the top 10. But in rebounds, he's top five. Assists, he's number one. He's averaging 12 assists per game. And again, this is as a center. I find it offensive now when people say that he's the best center in the league. Of course he is. He's the best player in the league. So if I'm voting, I'm going to thewholeshow.com right now. And I'm voting yes, he absolutely is. So you guys go vote. That is our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Is Nikola Jokic the best player? Now, we're what, 7 games in? I get that it's very, very early. And the Nuggets have to be better. They have to find a way to get better as a team. But right now, if you're saying this early in the season, is he the best? I have 75% of the hooligans saying no, 25% of the hooligans saying yes. So go vote on that. We'll see where we are at this point. Now, the question is, if you don't say he isn't the best, then who is? Is James Harden the best player in the NBA? Because he's averaging 33 points per game. Well, he's not top five in rebounds. He's not top five on the rebound side of it. He is top three in assists. So James Harden is up there. He's always up there. Never really performs in the playoffs, and that's always the knock. And I think that's why you look at his stats and you think they're amazing. You just know, though, that when it comes to crunch time, he's usually, especially when it comes to the playoffs, not great. Steph Curry's averaging 32 points per game, but he's not in the top five in any of the other categories as far as rebounds and assists go. Bradley Beal? I mean, he's averaging 30 points per game. I mean, you have to look at all of the stats, though. You can't just look at, you know, rebounds, assists, and offensive leaders. How does this person make the rest of the team? You know, how does Nikola Jokic, and again, this is tough right now because you've only won 3 games. You're 3-4. But Joker does make everybody on the floor better. And again, it's not like anybody's running away just yet. The Lakers are 6-2. The Suns, with Chris Paul now and Booker on there, I mean, they're going to be a good team. They're 5-2. But really, if you're worried about the start, and I understand that, but the Clippers are 5-3. And they're third in the West. Utah's 4-3. The Pelicans are 4-3. So I'm just trying to say, don't freak out yet. We're only, what, 2 months, 3 months away from when they played last. Teams are just trying to get acclimated again. They're just trying to figure it out. So before you freak out about 3-4, and it's not ideal. I expected much better. It is a letdown. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. But the rest of the league is going through similar growing pains as well. I mean, the Sixers are the best team in the league. They are 6-1. And then, like I said, if you want to freak out about four losses, well, they only have two more losses than the Lakers, two more losses than the Suns, one more loss than the Clippers. So this is why when I always say you got to evaluate every 10 games. Every 10 games, you look at where you are and say, all right, because by 20, that's when it's unacceptable to be under 500 for Denver. That's, I mean, by the time you get close, you know, 15, 20, you start freaking out a little bit. Mike Malone's kind of happy with the team, the way they're playing. After beating the Timberwolves 123-116, Mike Malone said, hey, I liked some of the quarters. Some of the other quarters were meh. Is that the word of the day?
Well, I thought the first quarter was also really good. You know, I think if you combine the first quarter and the fourth quarter, they shot 34% from the field. They scored 44 combined points. The second quarter was a disaster. And the third quarter was meh, whatever you want to call it.
It's just that we saw some of this in the bubble. Will Kang Swami says Giannis is the best player right now. Okay, look at his numbers right now, though. Yes, he's averaging about, what, 26, 25 points per game? 26 points per game. He's only two more points. Joker's averaging 24 points per game. But again, how much do you want to put on points for the Joker? I mean, he averages 25 points per game. I'm fine with that because he's averaging 12 assists and 12 boards per game. So I'm good with that. I mean, there's a lot of different stats you can look at here, but he's number one in assists. That, to me, is a huge number. Huge number, averaging, as a center, averaging 12 assists per game. Now, when you look at Giannis, he's averaging 11 boards per game. Okay, so Giannis is averaging 26 points per game. He's averaging about 11 boards per game. But again, the Joker is averaging a triple-double. That's not seven games is seven games. That's hard to do that even in seven games, man. That is a difficult task. Yet here you are, seven games in, and it looks like it's kind of easy for him at this stage. And the fact is, both the Nuggets and Milwaukee are underachieving. The Bucks are 4-3. So it is a tough discussion when you're talking about who the best player is and what the Joker has to do, but you got to think he's making some headway there. Let's go to the text line. First Advantage text line is, if you want to get at us, you got to text KFKA. Trying to find, why is this number hard for me to memorize, Colfax? I'm having a hard time with it.
It's got all the 10 digits, you know?
It's got the 10 digits. We lost the 6-digit thing, the company we work with, and I think a lot of companies nationwide are going away from the 6 digits. 970-478-1301. Eastside Chris. Joker's the best. Rounded out my effed up lineup last night. I'm going to ride the wave. Well, and here's the other thing, too. Joker has to do all this stuff. Guess how many points Jamal Murray had last night? Can you take a wild shot in the dark, Colfax? Knowing that he had, like, 36 on Sunday?
Okay.
Take a guess, knowing Jamal Murray now.
Knowing Jamal Murray, I'm going to go 14.
13.
Whoa.
He's either 13 or he's 35. He's Mr. 13 and 35. That's Jamal Murray. And he doesn't like that. He gets on Twitter and says, and he gets in the post game and says, well, what's wrong with me today? After he has a 36-point game. No, ask that question after you've had a 13-point game. Don't come at the media when you've had 36 and go, okay, what's the problem with me now? I can't shoot. Well, you had 13 points tonight. He started off hot. He is inconsistent in the games and every game at this stage. He was great in the first quarter, then he fizzles. Lieutenant Spangle says, I think the thing that really shows with Joker is if he doesn't play amazing, it's very obvious. The rest of the team really relies on him. So I could get behind the best player right now. Yeah, okay, when you say MVP, most valuable player, and that carries different meaning to to everybody, right? Most valuable player can sometimes be just the most valuable player to your team, or it can be the best stats. You know, most of the time you see guys that are scoring in the 30s win the MVP award. So it is a tough, it's kind of like the Heisman, which I'll get to that in a moment. It's the Heisman used to be about character, and yeah, you got to be good, but how do you represent your team and how do you represent college football? Now it's pretty much just a stat game. Colfax, before we break, let me get to the big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Trevor Lawrence didn't win the Heisman, but hey, at the end of the day, does he really care? Trevor Lawrence is going to the NFL. He has decided to enter the NFL draft, and we thought it was going to be with the Jets. Well, now the Jags have that spot there. So, man, we really were hoping Gardner Minshew would make it, right? That guy's just entertaining with the mustache and everything. But no, I think it's time. So he tweeted out, or Instagram, tweet, whatever, social media, "My time here has been amazing, and I'll be a Clemson Tiger forever," Lawrence said in a video released. Of course, Trevor Lawrence is one of the closest things to a sure thing, really, since Andrew Luck. He led Clemson to the national championship as a freshman in 2018. He won in his first 25 starts for the Tigers before falling to LSU last year, and then he lost to Ohio State. So, I mean, yeah, kind of a weird ending for him, but he's something else. I'm excited to see him in the league. So that's good for the NFL. Before we break, do want to thank Auto Taylor. Today we know everything revolves around technology, so having skilled technicians paired up with cutting-edge vehicle diagnostics is key. I take my vehicle there. I take my wife's vehicle there. Love the folks at Auto Taylor. 17 minutes after the hour, our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. Is Nikola Jokic the best player in the NBA? If not, then who is? Is it Giannis? I mean, are you still sticking with LeBron, even though, whatever, I mean, the stats are not screaming at us right now. Are you still sticking with that side of it? Is it James Harden? Let's talk about that on the other side. 17 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. This is Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
When it starts, we'll be ready. High school basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, so didn't Joker have two technical fouls last night? Did they waive one of them, or was it a different type of technical foul? Because I thought you got tossed with two technical fouls. So, yeah, Dixon, you're right. I thought he was going to get tossed. I thought so too, man. I don't know. What are the rules? Am I missing something? I mean, I'm glad he didn't. This is what I really liked about that game, though. Joker kind of lost his composure. Then he hangs on the rim, like, whatever. And he somehow took that anger, you know, rather than just taking stupid fouls for the rest of the night and ultimately getting in foul trouble and just benching it up, he comes out and he puts the team on his shoulder. He had to do it. Now, I'm a little confused. Mike Singer, I got a lot of respect for you writing in the Denver Post, but, you know, you're doing the write-up on this story and you say that it was an uncharacteristically quiet night for Jamal Murray. Not if you watch the Nuggets every night. Every other night is an uncharacteristically quiet night for Jamal Murray. So, no, I totally expect it. I was talking to a guy today that hasn't watched the Nuggets game yet, and he said, let me guess, Joker's carrying the team, Jamal Murray's inconsistent. I said, well, I mean, yeah, I hate to give it to you like that, but that's the truth. It's the Joker right now, averaging a triple-double. Colfax, my friend, listen to these numbers and tell me he's not the best player in the league. 24 points per game, 12 assists per game, 12 rebounds per game, about a steal and a half per game. His field goal percentage is 61. This is not a Shaq field goal percentage, folks. This is not just Joker dunking it. This is, and by the way, he's dunking a lot more this year. I love that. This is the Joker shooting all over the place. 47% from the three-point line and 82% from the free throw line. Phenomenal. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of times you see the big guys, they always have the better field goal percentage, right? Because they're closer to the basket. All of their shots are closer to the basket. They're easier to make. So it's, I get Giannis is, he passed that eye, he passes that eye test maybe a little bit better than the Joker does. But, you know, he's got something. He's got something over these guys that I it's a rare talent. And he keeps climbing these charts. He keeps climbing in these stats, you know. And who names he keeps getting compared to. You keep bringing up names like Wilt Chamberlain. Last night, a big stat fires up with Oscar Robertson, one of the NBA legends. Through the first six games in a season since 1963 and 64, and again, we're just taking stats. I don't know who the stat guy is. Oscar Robertson in the 1963 season had 131 points, 70 rebounds, 64 assists. Joker through six games, so this was before last night, 134 points, 67 rebounds, 77 assists. I mean, when you start saying names and stats next to Joker, and it's not just like a coincidence, you know, it's not just a random night. Oh, Joker went off and had 60. That compares to so-and-so. No, it's like you're consistently saying, well, no other player's done this since Wilt Chamberlain. No other player's done this since Oscar Robertson. That's when you know, folks. So Nuggets fans, I've had this debate already. I said it last year, and you damn well better believe I believe it more so this year. The Joker is the best player in Nuggets history already. There's no question about it. If he were to retire tomorrow, God help us if he does that, then he would still go down as the best player. If Carmelo would have won a title, then maybe so. If English would have won a title, then maybe we have an argument. But unlike Dixon, I do believe that titles are the most important thing. They're not the end-all be-all. I get it with certain players, and it still doesn't take away their greatness. But they're pretty damn important. So if Alex English and Carmelo, because we talk about those 3 years, right? Nuggets have now been to the Western Conference Finals three times with three of their best players in history, which is kind of cool. Alex English, Carmelo Anthony, Nikola Jokic. And so that's where I go. I know there's a lot of the Dan Issel people out there. There's a lot of Dikembe Mutombos. You throw some Chauncey Billups out there. But I always kind of say, to me, I feel like it's Alex English, Carmelo Anthony, Nikola Jokic. It's Nikola Jokic. He's better than those two. I mean, seven games is seven games, but he's averaging a triple-double in those seven games, folks. Okay, thank you, Dixon. The hanging on the rim tech is different. I thought that's kind of what I was thinking, that it's a different tech. But leave it to professional sports rules to always confuse me. It was a learning moment for the Joker. Another learning moment. You're never not learning, I suppose. But he took that anger that he was having in that game and channeled it. And, you know, the Timberwolves went on a 15-0 run in that third period. And the Nuggets, he basically was him that stopped the bleeding. 35 points last night. 15 rebounds. 6 assists. Will Barton showed up, which is great. But this is the problem right now. If you're waking up and you're a little worried about this team, again, I do stay strong. I'm feeling strong about the fact that some other teams are going through their growing pains too. But this is what's scary to me right now. When you have, and I like the mentality of, oh, any given night, it could be Will Barton. You know, it could be Paul Millsap on this night, or maybe it's Jamal Murray. That is great, and I like that to get to the playoffs. But to win in the playoffs, it's got to be both guys. So this is why I like the fact that Will Barton had 20 points, but you're not going to rely on that. Jamichael Green's starting to play, so that's taking a little pressure off, making you maybe not miss Jeremy Grant as much. He had 17 points. But I want to see more from Jamal Murray. He's got to be better. 13 points. 1-for-4 from the three-point line. 3-for-7. Got to be better than that. I don't know what else to say. That's a superstar. The NBA treats him like a superstar. Was it all just the bubble magic? And, you know, he was handling the press really well, and he did the shoes stuff. And, you know, I know he cried after one of the games. He was so exhausted and mentally exhausted about the state of things in the country. Okay, okay, but we're not in the bubble anymore. It's not this magical Disney kingdom that you're in anymore. You're in the real world of the NBA. I got to see it all the time. You know, I gave crap to Joker last year when he's only getting 20 points. Well, now he's averaging 24. He's averaging a triple-double. You have to hold Jamal Murray to a higher standard. Another guy that's really fun to watch. How about Facu Campazzo, man? Every game's getting a little bit better. Hit 11 points last night. He's running around. He could play defense. Mike Malone loving what he's seeing from Facu. Excuse me.
Opportunity. You know, I think, you know, with Michael Porter out, you know, that's one less perimeter player. So he's got an opportunity to play extended minutes, and he's taking advantage of it. You know, I played him a ton in that fourth quarter. I thought his on-ball defense against D'Angelo Russell was overall really good. He runs your team, you know, and he competes.
I love his defense. His on-ball defense is really good. And what I love about him, and you probably watched this when you were watching the game last night, when he's cutting and moving, he does something that no other player on the Nuggets do, which you'd think after playing with the Joker for several years, they'd know. Every time he cuts, where are his eyes? They're not looking in front of him. They're not looking at the rim. They're not looking at the defender. Joker. He's looking back at Joker. He's a European player, man. I mean, these guys, they pass all the time. They move the ball around when you least expect it. And a lot of times, if you're not looking, that ball's going to hit you in your head. My coach used to say it. If they're not looking and they're open, you hit them in the head. but he's looking. His eyes are constantly on the Joker. I wish more players coming onto the Nuggets roster would watch how Campazzo plays with the Joker, with that eye contact, constantly looking around for Nikola Jokic. That, what is it Paul Millsap said? Everybody's getting free cheeseburgers. That's what they call it. So Nikola Jokic is handing out free cheeseburgers. You better make sure you're looking around. I think he's the best player in the NBA. Go vote. I want to see. I'm actually kind of shocked. I thought we'd get some more Nuggets love on this. But 76% of the hooligans saying no, he's not the best player in the NBA. It's through seven games. I would say you're wrong. I would say he absolutely is through seven games. And I thought last night was a big step for him. All right, we're moving up the ladder a little bit. 28% say yes. 30 minutes after the hour, let's switch gears. Let's talk some Colorado Buffaloes coming up. They have a huge test tomorrow. They're outside of the top 25. If they can pull off the upset against Oregon, you better believe they're moving up. We'll talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the block party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 35 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. We're trying to catch up with Mark Johnson, but as always, he's either calling games or he's doing something in the wilderness, man. Like, he's that guy. I'm telling you. He's the guy that's out. He's hunting pheasants. He's surviving off of the land. He's like Bear Grylls, man. I think Mark should do his like own survival show. So I don't know if we'll be able to reach him today, but the Buffs have a big test tomorrow. So they're coming off of the loss to UCLA the other night. And it's been kind of, since they started conference play, which we expected, you know, the last three games, they're 1-2 in their last three games. They lost to Arizona, 88-74. They did turn around. They beat USC. Then they lose to UCLA. UCLA is, right now, they're one of the best teams in the conference. They're sitting at 7-2, but 3-0 in the conference. So since the Buffs started conference play, 1-2. So yeah, this is where, you know, and again, Oregon's going to be the test, but after that, you have to start putting together some of these conference wins, because, you know, they're quite a ways down the list there as far as the standings go. But the other night against UCLA, yeah, McKinley Wright had 12. You know, these are the games where Wright doesn't need to score 20, 25 points. He doesn't have to do that because this team is balanced and they kind of feed off of each other that way. But these are the situations where you need your superstar, your projected NBA first rounder, to step up and have some big games. So he was 1-for-4 from three-point land the other night, 5-for-10. So, I mean, just kind of a rough shooting night overall for Wright. So we'll see if they can get it right. But if they can beat Oregon, they probably move back into the top 25. So that's going to be a huge test. Oregon's 8-1, though. I mean, this is a sensational basketball team. They have, I mean, both teams have really great players and senior leadership on both sides of it. You know, with what the Buffs have, McKinley Wright, Evan Batty, Dallas Walton. I mean, they have a good staff. Then you look over at Oregon, though, and Eugene Amorie is averaging about 19 points per game. Chris Duarte, Eric Williams Jr. I mean, just their seniors alone account for like 80% of their scoring. So that's going to be an absolutely huge, huge game. First Advantage text line. Get at us at 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to 970-478-1301. Go to the First Advantage text line. Brady, I know I can say it about a few other guys in the league. Oh, he's talking about the Nuggets. But this team is screwed if Joker gets hurt. The offense is a dumpster fire when he isn't on the floor. Sadly, I agree with you. If Joker gets hurt, COVID comes into play and misses a few games like Porter is right now, when what do you do? Because you look at this roster and, you know, who's carrying this team? Can Jamal Murray be? I know I sound frustrated, but it is frustrating. Jamal is just not rising to that. You know, we all raised the level, our expectations for Jamal Murray after the bubble, even though in most of those playoff series, he had several games like this. 12 points. Oh, 28. 13 points. Oh, 37. He's the greatest player in the world. And then when he's quiet, we just don't talk about it. This is why I'm reading this post from the Denver Post. Mike Singer, I know you are a Denver Nuggets guy. I know you're in on the Zoom calls all the time. Saying that it was an uncharacteristically quiet night for Jamal. That's not... See, this is what's wrong with it. I think the reporting isn't being fair when he struggles. He is still like this. And I stand by it. If he can... Whatever part of his... Because he proves that he has the ability. How many players in the NBA do you see do this? I can't really think of any. Where one night, a guy can have 36. The next night, he's going to have 13. Then the next night, he has 30. Are there many guys like that in the league? Because most of... You're either in or you're out. You're either a superstar or you're not. And Jamal Murray is like... he's like two-faced right now. One half, yeah, he's a superstar. The other half is kind of just an average basketball player. I was thinking Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. That's what I was going for. Couldn't think of it. But I got it, Colfax. We figured it out. I don't know what's the... last year was the... How do you get Nikola Jokic motivated? How do you get him to know that he's the best player? Will Barton said in the postgame... on Nikola Jokic. He said, I don't know, man. At this point, what more can I say about him? I tell him before every game to go out there and win MVP. He could be the best player in the world if he wanted to. It's all up to him. I feel like he just can't be stopped. He's one of those players in the league who can't be stopped. His shooting touch, his post moves, ability to put the ball on the floor and then pass. There's nothing you can really do to stop him. When he's aggressive, it's over. So that was the headache last year. It's like, how does Malone get that into Nikola Jokic's head? Maybe he did. I don't know. Did the bubble change him? Did the thirst for winning change Joker? Because now you got that taste for it. You got to the Western Conference Finals. You're a perennial playoff team now. I mean, you made the playoffs twice in a row. Is the Joker finally getting that taste for it? Going, you know what? It is going to take... Because right now, it is going to take triple doubles from the Joker to win games. That's the bottom line. You know, I think he's the best player. He's the reason this team's not 0-7 right now. And that's a scary thought. Now, I do think JaMychal Green, he's not going to be better than Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's playing outstanding basketball right now. Just absolutely nuts. But JaMychal didn't play the first two games, and then he's starting to work himself back into the mix, getting in game shape. So I do think that's going to come in handy. That's going to start to help out a little bit. Michael Porter Jr., yes, texter here. MPJ coming back will be a nice addition moving forward. but offense runs through Joker in some way every possession. When he is out, they look lost. Yeah, that's why the bench is so important. This is why I kind of talked about starting Barton, and then you have that offense with MPJ on the bench with Morris, because they do look lost. But again, it's a liability with Porter right now not playing defense. So, you know, you kind of do want him out there with the starting five, the starting four, because maybe he won't do as much damage. Got to get that. So Porter, probably, if I were a gambling man, offensively, I'm going to say Porter's probably going to be get to the point where he's averaging more than Jamal Murray points-wise. Then that could be a few points more. But again, defensively, he looks lost. And I thought there'd be a little bit more of an improve there. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. McClain, NBA assist leader, top 20 in scoring, top 5 in rebounds. My fellow hooligans, what more does Joker need to do to get the credit he deserves? I mean, you're top 5 in two major categories, and the only reason you don't have 24 points per game is because you're too busy passing and trying to get your guys involved. How many missed shots, by the way? That should be a stat. Probably is. How many missed wide-open looks do the Nuggets have when Joker sets them up beautifully? Campazzo's setting people up beautifully. And can we please, Colfax, write this letter. Write this down. Can we please beg Gary Harris to stop going up with one hand? He did it again last night. I mean, that was the game. It almost cost them. The other night, it damn near did cost. Who was that against? Was that against the Suns? Going up with just one hand. They called it a foul. They end up reviewing it, saying it wasn't a foul. He's going up for the one-handed jam. Just go up with two. At least get a foul, or at least get the ball close to the rim. I'm not a fan of that. The years have not been kind to Gary Harris, have they? And you talk about a guy that defensively was one of the best in the league 3 years ago, and he was still scoring 18 points a game. So he was like, he wasn't an upper echelon player, but a really solid piece. He has just not been there. Now, it's been 2 years now, and you just haven't seen him at that level. Hey, you're right, McClain. I mean, if he's not number one, then who is? Giannis doesn't have the numbers right now. And again, Joker has the numbers in every category, and the only reason he doesn't have 28 points per game to put him in the top five is because he's too busy looking and too busy passing. Again, Jamichael Green is talking about Joker and what it's like to play with him. You know, he said that guy is just different. He is the way he gets everybody involved. He's absolutely great to watch. I mean, he's a great teammate. But he even said it. He's like, at times, he's probably too unselfish. And I think we're seeing less of that, to be honest. Because he's definitely taking more looks. He's taking more three-pointers, or he's driving to the basket. Definitely seeing him drive to the basket more when he's aggressive. I love seeing that. It's a different style of Joker we're seeing this year. It really is. Let's get to a couple of texts. Eastside Chris. Joker is great, but he's in Denver, therefore just great for betting, not NBA superstar status. Is the NBA starting to change that, though? Are they starting to look at him? Because I just shared something from NBA Central moments ago, and I mean they're constantly jotting down his stats. They're constantly talking about it. The Weld County Swami. Being the best player in the league is different than having the best start in the league. If you're talking just these seven games, then yes, that's what I'm talking. Yes, just these seven. Is he the best player? We can't base it off of the future. You know, this isn't Back to the Future. I mean, you can only base it on the seven games. Is he the best player in the NBA right now through what you've seen? Sure, he could come out tomorrow against Dallas and have 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. And then he could come out the next night and have a bad game, and then suddenly that this thought right now would fade a little bit. But through seven games, there's no one better as far as the stats. Weld County Swami says, the other scary thing is that he's playing at an MVP caliber, and they're 3-4. This is why it's terrifying, because if he rolls an ankle, if he gets that real technical, because apparently hanging on the rim is a different type of technical, different branches of technical. Are these COVID rules? I struggle with what this team looks like. Like, that's going to keep Mike Malone up at night. Until Jamal Murray can be more consistent as far as scoring, and I'm not asking much, 13 points, turn that into 18, Cool. That's 5 more points. I'm happy with that. But I can't have you. But I mean, I'm not happy with that. I'm content with that. I can't have you being Mr. 36 points and ripping the media to shreds saying, oh, what's my issue now? No, I can't have that. You got to your bad games have to be what your good games were last year. Did he average 20 last year? Was it close to 20? Your good games now, or your bad games, I should say, have to be what your good games were last year. You know, I need, if Joker has 20 points, like last night, the night before, the first game against Minnesota, he had like 19. And you're thinking, oh, it's a low scoring night. Not really because of everything else he does. Now, 10 points is low scoring for him. But for the most part, you know, when you really get frustrated with Joker, it's when he's not shooting and he's like at 9 points or something like that. But I mean, until Jamal Murray is that guy, and then Michael Porter, when he gets back to play defense, he has to play defense. Those are the things. And there's a lot of other issues, too. When you look at the depth on this team, they used to be the deepest team in the NBA a year ago. That's why we thought they would go to the Western Conference Finals, because of their depth. They had two good stars, and they had depth. Well, they have one good star right now, and their depth is extremely shaky. We hope Campazzo can keep doing what he's doing. But I was really worried they were going to lose this game. That third period was awful. They gave up. How about the second? How about the second period, Colfax? They gave up 43 points. You're going to lose most games if you do that. They did bounce back. They only allowed 20 in the fourth. I mean, they were playing great defense on the bookend there, first and fourth. But in between, that was terrible. If you can get points, if you can get production from Green, Campazzo, like you did last night, great. But Monte Morris was a no-show. PJ Dozier, I like watching him. I think he's got the look of a solid player. But, you know, 3 points. So, again, the bench isn't great. You know, you need another guy that's going to come in and get you closer to 8. And, again, is that going to be Michael Porter? Is that going to be Barton? How are we working that out? Barton might have earned a starting job while this COVID thing exists. If Porter's missing games like that. If Barton does it again tomorrow night, then does he start for the moment? And you say, hey, we just want to get some offense coming off that bench. Wouldn't really be a demotion to Porter. It would be elevating him to the bench. We got to use that all week, Colfax. That's the word of the week, man. But no, in all seriousness, it wouldn't really be a demotion. It would be like, we need production off the bench. We desperately need it. And if we can't get consistent games from Campazzo and Morris right now, then yeah, we're hoping Green turns into a 15-point guy, 14-point guy, but we need more off the bench. So the bench is scary. Jamal Murray's inconsistency is now a liability, folks. It was cute last year. You know, it was. You got through it somehow. But if Joker rolls an ankle, gets in foul trouble, Nuggets are in trouble. All right, 10 minutes till the top of the hour. We'll take a short break. Do want to thank SCL Mortgage. My friends over at SCL Mortgage, find them at myspecialmortgage.com. They're family and veteran owned. And as you've heard, interest rates are at all-time lows. So now's the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you have. Car loans, credit cards, student loans. That interest is not tax deductible. And your house payment is. That's myspecialmortgage.com. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Take a quick break. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Now, I said Bodie Hume for the UNC Bears would be the Big Sky Conference MVP when it's all said and done. Let's look at that stat, the status there, as well as their standings in the conference. They got a big one tomorrow. They got a stretch of games they should absolutely win so they can move up in those standings. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, some UNC news. We saw this morning. UNC is going to allow a limited number of spectators approved for the Bank of Colorado Arena. So that will be big. They got this one from Ryan Pfeiffer over at UNC. University of Northern Colorado Athletics has been approved to have a limited number of spectators at events starting tomorrow when they take on Who, Montana State, right? So that's a big deal, right? 50 spectators maximum right now allowed inside Bank of Colorado Arena will consist of family members of the student athletes and coaches of that contest. They will continue to monitor and follow all local and NCAA guidelines in regards to COVID-19 and collaborate with campus, local, and state officials to determine if further increases in event attendance are permitted with the safety of student athletes. So there you go. And that's a start. That's, I mean, 50 is not great, you know, whatever, it's going to be family, but it is a start, and that might lead us to the direction we want to be. Currently, the Bears are sitting at fifth place in the Big Sky Conference, 2-2 in conference play. Southern Utah, got to watch out for this team. They are 2-0 right now, 7-1 to start the season. Whew, not too shabby there. But the Bears have some winnable games coming up. They're going up against Montana State tomorrow night. That's right here on KFKA. Then they play them again on Saturday. They play Idaho. They're on the road. They take on Idaho next week. Two games there. So you look at the standings. You know, Montana State hasn't played a conference game yet. They're 3-3 overall. And then Idaho hasn't won a game yet. So I would be pretty disappointed if the Bears don't at least go 3-1 here in this stretch. So they're sitting at 5-4. So this would be a huge stretch before they have to take on a tough team like Eastern Washington. Now, Bodie Hume, I said he's going to be the Big Sky Conference MVP. Well, he is top five in the conference in three major categories: points, rebounds. How about blocks? He's averaging a block a game. It's a big deal in college. He's averaging 17 points per game and 7 boards per game. He's well behind, though, Eastern Washington's Tanner Groves in rebounds and Cameron Shelton for Northern Arizona. So work to do there, but a big stretch of games coming up for UNC. I really think the pressure is to, you know, got to go at least 3-1 in that stretch. Second hour coming up, more Denver Nuggets talk, general manager options, all that and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.